All right, Schaefer Landit here with Norwalk City Manager Luke Nelson, and we'll go ahead and get into things. I saw you at the Board of Supervisors meeting last week, and you gave a just kind of a Norwalk City update. So is there anything you'd like to kind of share? I know some of that stuff we've touched on already and kind of put out there, but anything that you'd like to kind of reiterate or want people to know about?
I think it's just the general tone of those updates has been very positive, just because we're seeing continued trend of growth. Stable, steady growth. We're not one of the booming metro suburbs, kind of slow and steady, but still quality growth. And that's usually the main message that I pass along to them, and it was at that one as well. Although a little bit of concern about what's going to happen with the upcoming legislative session. But those are the basics.
You guys had a meeting on Thursday, so we'll cover some of that as well. First of all, council chose a phase cost sharing model for the new subdivision street requirements. I know we kind of talked about this a little bit, but why was the graduated city assistance option selected, and how will that kind of funding, you talked about first come first serve approach. So how is that going to kind of come in? And
yeah, we did a little bit of research to see how many actual linear feet of new streets going each year, because we wanted to set up an amount, because what we want to do is set an amount. We don't want to see a mad dash of a bunch of people coming in and building streets all at once and causing an upset in the system. So looking at past situations, it's about 1.5 miles of roads that we see each year. So the amount of cost difference between building a street without subdrain and subgrade compared to one with those sub drains in the granular subbase is about $84 per linear feet, I think is what the amount said in that staff report. So taking that times the number of new linear feet, we're going to cover 75% of that difference for the first year. The idea, the main idea behind it, is we want to say to developers, we want to start this implementation immediately, but it's kind of unfair. The developers have their budget set out. They know how much that road was going to cost them to come in, set new standards. It's kind of unfair, but it's also unfair to our citizens to have to deal with streets that aren't going to have longevity. So this is a good mix. We're using some taxpayer dollars to help offset that additional expense to balance and make it a little bit easier for this implementation. And so far we've had, I don't know if I want to say positive reaction, but we have not had the negative reaction of immediate implementation from the developers, which I understand where they're coming from. It's a business model change. It's additional regulation. I know that's frustrating. It's just justified is the bottom line.
The city approved nearly $11 million in water revenue bonds. And again, something else I think we've touched on before, but what projects will these bonds fund specifically? And then how will this borrowing affect like utility rates, future planning, things like that?
Yeah, great questions. So that $11 million is really two main things. One is the water tower, which handles our day-to-day water storage. You know, the idea is you fill water towers at night, pump it out during the day, and then over the next night fills back up. So that's like a day-to-day capacity. The more long-term capacity of actually physically drilling wells into the ground, pulling water out of the ground, treating it, and sending it to our community, that is the role of Central Iowa Water Works. So the other portion of that $11 million is going to pay Central Iowa Water Works for additional capacity of water reserved for Norwalk.
Norwalk approved an amended agreement with the Des Moines Metropolitan Wastewater Reclamation Authority. What does this mean for the city's wastewater capacity, costs, partnership, kind of moving forward with that?
On this one, there's not a big difference in cost. It was more structural, kind of cleaning up that agreement and things that we've learned. Kind of the two big takeaways I would make mention of. One is the WRA is mostly housed underneath the city of Des Moines. Although all those folks have their own email addresses that are through the city of Des Moines. They are using HR, using accounts payable, all these things, they're utilizing the city of Des Moines. So even though it's a regional organization, they're really kind of isolated with Des Moines. One of the things this does is it starts to move that director position more independent of the city, where it would do more of a direct report to the board versus a direct, not direct report, but some management by the city of Des Moines. So that's kind of one component. The other one is they change the weighted vote capability to be more based on flow. So a community that's sending more flow to the treatment facility is then weighted more with their vote. Does that make sense?
Sure does. Final big one here. Council unanimously upheld the police chief's designation of a dog as a vicious dog incident. That's something that just, you know, we don't see every week. So what standards guided the council's decision? What does this case say about how Norwalk kind of handles those things? I just kind of want to hear about that a little bit.
Yeah, that was truly a procedural action because the owner of the dog appealed. Very clear decision, an animal that has bit multiple people. I don't think there was any question our chief had taken the right action. They've had that dog housed in a controlled environment, and it was upheld, so the appeal didn't work. I think it worked out just like it was supposed to. It's almost a shame that it's such a lengthy process on something that seems so evident, but that's why we have that clear process in place, is to give everybody a chance to appeal and to kind of like that judicial review.
And then finally, just some more stuff with both the fire code. I know we talked about that after the last meeting, and then also gates and barriers. I know two separate things, but things we've revisited. I just threw in like any updates with those. I know we kind of talk about them every week, but they were just kind of traditional or typical procedure stuff.
Yeah, the gates and barriers. I know that one of our council members, Jason Brown, I think it was, he was very outspoken about some of the concerns. Ultimately, I think he voted yes. I haven't talked to him about it. I'm assuming it's a little bit of a team player atmosphere. You know, he stated his concerns, but ultimately understood that the greater good was to move forward with those gates and barriers. My gut tells me we're not going to see a lot of that happen other than in areas where it's a problem. You know, it's an added expense for a business to put in a gate. They got to open it and close it. Unless you're having problems with a neighboring business that is parking on your property, it's likely not something that's used a lot. But then one of our council members made a great point about Mackinac. We have a gate there, and there's a reason for that. I wasn't here when the gate was put in, but I'm sure there's a good reason for it. So I think overall they had some good discussion, but that one, I think we're going into our second or third reading. I don't foresee any changes there. At least I haven't heard of any. And same thing, the fire chief, that section of the ordinance that we cleaned up was just that. It was a cleanup of the ordinance and to more align it to match some of our other ordinances for those higher level positions.
All right. And that was Norwalk City Manager Luke Nelson.